I wore my Tecovas, my new brown Tecovas boots, the Chelsea boots, to a dinner a few days ago,
Oh my
and
God,
I
how'd it
got
go?
complimented. Well, they were great. They fit well, but they got complimented, and I was like, well, they're spawn number one, but two, I really do love them. Thank you for complimenting my boots. I love my Tecovas boots. I know Lindsay loves hers too. I love what Tecovas put in their ad copy here. It's about festival and concert season being all about the boots, especially with a big album that came out very recently that I
Oh,
won't name. But
this
if you
ain't
love this album, you're
Texas.
gonna this ain't Texas. You're gonna want your Tecovas. You know, this ain't Texas. These Tecovas. They have seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All of their boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. They have first wear comfort, so you don't have to like break them in and wear them in. They're comfortable right out of the box. I can say that from experience, it's true. And their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. And if you live in a place with a Tecovas store, you should probably go there because they give you a drink, they help you out, they help you pick the perfect boots that you want, and it smells good because there's leather everywhere. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized and regular live music and events, so there's no in-store experience quite like it. But if you can't make it into a store, just go to tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You or Jayla? Yeah.
To be famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And in 14 hours, I want to be crashing your hashtag Daisy Zoom watch parties. Download some backgrounds and send me your party info at katie.to/zoom submission... and I'll try to buzz through. B emoji, heart emoji.
Not to be crazy, but I thought you were saying that.
Oh,
I thought you personally were like, I'm going to drop into your Daisy Zoom. I was like, what psycho mind would think of a Daisy Zoom watch party? And then I thought, oh, obviously the marketing for Daisies, like Katy Perry's new single.
I can't imagine a worse thing to do at midnight tonight than get in a Zoom with people and listen to Daisies
and listen
together.
To Daisies live. Yeah, no, I know. It's like you are asking for the ultimate disappointment. Even if it's good, is somehow disappointing, right?
Well, all Zoom does is make real things worse. It's like a terrible simulation of reality. So it's like, why would I want to experience joy in a Zoom? You know?
Why would I want to experience joy in a Zoom?
Even when I'm actively trying to experience joy in a Zoom at a joyful occasion, I'm like, oh my God, this is so sad. I'm like, oh God.
You think about what is lost. You think about what is not there.
Yeah, it's awful.
I still want the Katy Perry release. I don't disparage it. I think like even though it's like not as fun as it could be to release a song right now, I still think the music is what I still want the music. Mm-hmm. I still appreciate artists making music. I want the Charlie XCX Quarantine album. I want
Which
Chromatica.
Is out today.
Yeah, I see those are the things that are interesting and good, and I'm glad people are making them and still putting them out, even though they're not sure how they're going to be received. Maybe Bobby will listen to it depressed in a Zoom at midnight.
Maybe.
But maybe somebody will dance around to it in their bedroom. Maybe that'll be me.
I will say I will definitely use these Zoom backgrounds, but just to troll people. Like, that's fine.
Wait, are they just pictures of daisies or are they pictures of Katie?
Well, they're pictures of her in front of daisies. So there are Zoom background. The concept is extremely flawed. So they are Zoom backgrounds. She's saying use these Zoom backgrounds, but they're really just Zoom screenshots of Katie using Daisy backgrounds. So if I use this Katy Perry Zoom background, I would be sitting where Katy Perry is. So my face would be covering up Katie's face. I would have to be like...
So they're actually not well-made Zoom backgrounds.
No, she should have broken it up into thirds, right? Like
because
she should have been on the side.
I also saw a tweet where Cheetos was like, here are some Zoom backgrounds featuring Cheetos. And I was like, this is insane. But then I looked at them and I was like, these are good. Like they did a good job mm-hmm. thinking about what I would want if I wanted a Cheetos Zoom background.
Oh, you know? I see. The photos on the Twitter were her using the Zoom backgrounds. The actual Zoom backgrounds are blank, which is fine. But they are also incredibly boring. They look like they're from like Shutterstock.
They're just pictures of daisies.
I would rather have Katie like on the left side peeking
in
like hello. They're terrible.
What's the best Zoom background that you've ever seen? You've seen so far?
The one that a hooligan sent to me that was just the empty Bon Appetit test kitchen. It's so funny. It's actually, and it's also like the color grading is correct, so it feels authentic. Like these, you couldn't even pretend to be in this place. The Bon Appetit one looks like it could be where you are.
You could be there. Yeah. You could be there. Yes. Yeah. And if you did it, if you angled yourself correctly, it looked like you were
also the one that Lala, the one that Lala used of me and you dressed as Carrie Matheson and Saul Berenson from like 2012
She put herself as me. Well, I was really proud of mine for Kelly's baby shower Zoom. I did the giant baby mm-hmm. and I did him three across because mm-hmm. I had already experienced the like you have to do it so you have to see the baby.
It, yeah.
Yeah. So I did the baby three across and everybody like loved that. The big baby. Everyone
that
loved
was
big
really
baby.
Good. I mean, I was pretty upset by the big baby, so I won't say that I loved it. But giant baby. I appreciated your work. There.
I think the Zoom background, when executed properly, can be good. Just don't forget, if you do a Zoom and then you have a funny background, if you do another Zoom, it'll still have the background. It doesn't ask you if you want to keep the background. It'll have the background.
Oh, I did the Lego Masters logo once. I'm looking at my Zoom.
Oh, yeah, that
folder.
Was funny. That was funny.
I think really
I once
the
did Chromatica.
Oh,
the
wait,
picture
which
of Gaga with Chromatica, like on planet Chromatica with like her crew. And I did that as my background. Then I backed up into it. So I looked like I was on planet Chromatica.
Oh, you know what? The good one that I did? The one when I pretended to be Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty funny.
To see if a haircut worked. That was
good. To see if the haircut worked.
But
it didn't work. Well, no, the haircut worked, but it just isn't doable.
I think you need to embrace Zoom as just like unique to now, not like this is the future. That's the difference. It's like, oh, it's funny that we get to do this now for a second.
I was laughing about that like privately yesterday because I was thinking about Zoom.
Privately.
Like, no, but just like Zoom. The moment lockdown is lifted, like knock on wood. Just Zoom just disappears. Zoom just goes away. Zoom is on the high hog.
No one wants to do Zoom.
They're on the high hog right now, and then immediately post this. Everyone's like, I will never Zoom again. Even if I have to use it for work, I will use another piece of software because the name Zoom is triggering. Like, oh, I got to do 8 Zooms today.
Okay, but I think the positive spin on that is that some people like you will do that. But then the opposite is that a lot of people have now learned how to use like communication to keep in touch with people that maybe they could not keep in touch with before because now it is normalized to use like that type of software, which is like pretty cool because that type of software includes FaceTime and Hangouts and all these other ways that people can keep in touch with other people via that.
You are listening to Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, concerns. This is not a show about Zoom anymore, at least. We're going to start with comments because we have a lot of them. Let's just hit the ground running. Here's the first one.
Hi, this is Alex. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller, and I just want to call about Ben Affleck's t-shirt that he was wearing when everyone was posting pictures of him and Ana de Armas wearing the heart necklaces. So my favorite thing was the shirt, and Bobby said he thinks the shirt means no more drama, but se acabó el drama is basically saying the drama is finished, or, you know, let's finish the drama. Just wanted to call and say that. You don't have to play this call. I just wanted it to be the little Spanish correction. Okay. Thanks. Bye. Love you guys. Good form, Bella Thorne.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. I was listening to the podcast and had to do a dramatic pause like everyone has to do when I make these calls. But regarding the Ana de Armas and Ben Affleck's heart necklaces, you missed the most important part of it. They're wearing the same side. So normally with those necklaces, it's sort of like, you know, the broken heart. You split them up between your friends normally when you're like 13. And they're wearing those necklaces, but they're wearing the same side of the heart. So what happened to the other two sides? Where are the other sides of this heart? All right. Love you guys. ScarJo, Yummy Pop, all that.
Bobby thinks that one might be flipped.
That wouldn't even necessarily mean that they fit together. I'm trying to do a little Photoshop to see if I don't. I don't think it matters if they're the same side of the heart if they don't have the text on them is what I really mean.
Well, like, right. Like she doesn't have bit and he doesn't have fins, you know, like ends.
Like if they both had, you know that bar, Saint Ends? Like if they both had Saint Ends.
Well, she would have st and he'd have bit fr and she'd
bee
have
fry. St. It's bee fry and Saint Ends. So, okay,
so you don't think, I also think, because now I'm looking at it again, which I hate that I am, she has a feminine chain and he has a masculine chain.
They're
and I
different.
Think these are the same. I think these are the same. It doesn't matter where they go together. I think they're the same necklace that's half a heart that's put on a chain for them, weirdly.
Yeah. Like,
and I don't know if the, and I don't, there's no proof because you've zoomed in. There's no proof the heart says anything. We don't have a
There's no proof that the heart says image. Anything. But also, like, I photoshopped this heart and I'm trying to see what, if you put these two side by side, if you
does
flip
the
them, the crack, stick together. The crack is not a symmetrical crack. It doesn't,
so they're just,
they don't necessarily fit together, but maybe what they're saying there is not that they're two halves of the same heart. Maybe they're both saying that they're brokenhearted. And maybe they fit together just because they are two brokenhearted people.
Oh my God. Okay.
Also, I like that Ben Affleck's shirt is not merely No More Drama. Thank you for the caller who speaks Spanish for explaining this to us. It's like a more active version of that. It's
the
like
drama
the
is
drama
over.
Is over. He's taking a stand about the drama.
Someone also called and said they recognize that shirt from a very popular Cuban fashion line.
Oh, it's Cuban.
From Clandestina. And I also, as I'm searching just photos of them or just looking at photos of them, he also wore a shirt a few days ago that said Habana. So he's clearly like engaging, but almost overdoing
he
it.
He loves her culture. Like... He loves her culture.
But like to wear. It's just so funny to me that he's like wearing shirts that say Spanish on them, wearing a shirt that says Havana, like wearing half of a heart necklace. This is getting to be almost to the point of, are they trolling us? Okay, let's move on.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. Long time. I had to pause the podcast because Bobby was, I can't remember if it was Bobby or Lindsay, saying that Abigail Spencer looks like someone who would be on Suits. And I couldn't really picture what she looked like, but that name sounded so familiar to me. And I used to watch Suits, and she actually was on Suits. She was, like, the one guy's girlfriend, I think, for a few episodes. She was, like, another lawyer. All right, just wanted to call and tell you that. Me and Grace. Bye.
I actually feel I feel really stupid about this.
I was telling you I had just like read about it, but we didn't mention it, and that's just annoying. That's just annoying.
I mean, I literally said this woman looks like she's been on Suits, and it was like, no, she was on Suits for like two for like many years, not 2 years. Like she was on Suits for like quite a while, and she's like one of Meghan Markle's friends. Mm-hmm. That's she's part of like the Meghan Markle crew, right? We are just like. I can't believe we forgot. I mean, this shows the like the amount of brain damage I have from this podcast. Yeah. Like, what am I going to remember? But I forgot. I will say this woman looks like,
she looks like a lot of people. Yeah. She looks like a lot of people.
Right. But now
fine.
I'll never
it's
forget that
like
Abigail Spencer is one of Meghan Markle's best friends and she was on Suits. And I hope her arm feels better soon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next call.
Hi, I'm at the grocery store, and I just have to say that Jennifer Jason Leigh is the most famous Jason Leigh. Crunch, crunch. Bye-bye.
I think that's probably true. Of the three Jason Leighs, Jennifer Jason Leigh is probably number one.
I really didn't consider Jennifer Jason Leigh as one of the Jason Leighs, but that is one of the Jason Leighs.
Mm-hmm. Been in a lot of movies. She's also one of the stars in the movie that will never come out, that will never see the light of day, that I'm desperate to see, The Woman in the Window. Where is it?
You're gonna see
Drop
it.
It.
You're gonna see it.
I want it out now. Put it on Amazon. I will pay $30 for The Woman in the Window.
Okay.
I mean, I'll split it with you. I'll split it with you. I'll pay $15 for The Woman in the Window.
She will still be waiting in the window after this. It is funny to me. The Woman in the Window is like, we must get butts in the seats. Like, this must be a movie experience in the theater. It's like, really? Okay.
Oh my God. Next call.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. Just wanted to pause the episode when you're talking about Sebastian Stan, because I do know that he dated Leighton Meester for a while because they met while they were on Gossip Girl together. Sorry if this is muffled. I'm walking my dog in the rain and have my mask on. Crunch, crunch.
So Sebastian Stan, we get a lot of calls about how we miss Sebastian Stan's dating history now. He's dated so many people, one of whom, Leighton Meester, someone else, Diana Agron, Jennifer Morrison, Margarita LaViva, who was on Revenge.
I feel like I said these, but maybe I cut myself naming these people. But I definitely was looking at his who's dated who, and I was like, oh, he dated Diana Agron. Because how else would I ever know that unless I looked at it literally a few days ago?
I mean, to be fair, I looked at Abigail Spencer being on Suits and didn't mention it during the episode. So sometimes I confuse reading something with saying something.
That's...
I saw this thing, it said on Distractify. I definitely think this is like a robot website. But we talked about Distractify before, but the
it's
end
like
of this...
It's like robot adjacent. It's not full robot, but it's like close to being
it's
a
like they let the robots do the first draft and then the humans come in and kind of fix the copy, but they don't always
exactly.
do the best job. So we have, who is Sebastian Stan's girlfriend in 2020? Actress Priyanka Chopra Jonas. I hate seeing her full name. Makes me want to die. Actress Priyanka Chopra Jonas said it best. Who said it otherwise? When she and Sebastian both appeared on Watch What Happens Live in 2018. Quote, Sebastian is very unclear about his complicated dating status. That's it. How is that how she said it best? How is that saying
what
it best?
Weird...
I don't even know what that
means. But that's
means.
Also just a weird way to say anything or just something weird to say, no?
That's a weird thing. I mean, Priyanka Chopra Jonas saying something weird is not all that surprising.
Sebastian is very unclear about his complicated dating status.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
I'm just wondering about Ben in this situation. I think he might be back, but honestly, who cares?
No, that's the thing is, like, I think this might be just secretive in a weird way, but it also could imply Ben back, but like also just could be secretive.
This is towing the line between I'm a very private person and Ben is back and I have to take care of Ben.
I mean, he's like the opposite of Ben Affleck, speaking of Ben, like just like he is like the literal opposite of Ben Affleck, who's wearing a half heart necklace and like Spanish phrases on his shirt because he's dating a Cuban woman, you know?
Oh my God. I would pay once again, $30, $15. I'd split it with Lindsay. I would pay $15 and Lindsay would pay $15 too for audio of Ben Affleck placing a Dunkin' Donuts order in Spanish. Oh my God.
$15. Bobby, I'd pay $50. Are you kidding? Ben Affleck rolling up to the drive-thru and speaking Spanish?
The Dunkin' person is like, hi, Ben. Yeah, we know. It's always two large iced coffees, Ben. See. Dos, Ben.
They don't speak Spanish. They're just like, yes, okay. Yeah. See, Ben. They like learn Spanish just to respond.
Whether or not they speak Spanish, they really hate Ben Affleck. Okay, next call.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Sorry for the noise in the background. I'm on the treadmill. I just had to pause the podcast because, Kristen Stewart, so Emma Roberts is dating Garrett Hedlund, which you can see on both her mom's Instagram and on her Instagram, plus people have photos of them. And Kristen Stewart and Garrett Hedlund did a version of On the Road together a couple years back. So that could be why she's there. Okay, crunch, crunch.
A perfect connection. I would have never thought of that. So you're thinking that Garrett Hedlund introduced Emma Roberts and Kristen Stewart. All right. And that's why they're like hanging out together, quarantining together. Well, unclear, but they're hanging out together right now as friends. Who knows?
As friends. What did she say? Garrett Hedlund has appeared on Emma Roberts' mom's Instagram. Did I miss that? She was like, yeah, they're with...
It flew by.
What? Hold on, I have to...
The funny thing was the article was like, Emma and her friend, or Emma is hanging out with Kristen Stewart during the quarantine, and her friend's a hairdresser who dyed Kristen Stewart's hair, too. So clearly the friend that they're referring to is not Garrett Hedlund. He's not a hairdresser, so he didn't dye Kristen Stewart's hair. So it's like Emma Roberts, her like hairdresser friend, Garrett Hedlund, maybe Kristen Stewart and her girlfriend are like in this house. If I'm looking at the example led by Cara Delevingne and Ashley, it seems like you guys got to break up the quarantine house before it goes awry.
Hey, Who Weekly. Medium time. It is I calling again with some wrestling gossip. John Cena's girlfriend could possibly be his fiance. There is a Reddit subreddit about wrestling, and people have posted photos of John Cena and Shay out and about at different publicity events, and she is wearing a diamond ring on her finger. And in addition to them being spotted at charity events with her wearing a ring, the last time she was on SmackDown, which I believe is late February, I noticed that she was still wearing a ring on her ring finger. So there's a rumor going around that they might be engaged already, which would be crazy because it took such a long time for him to propose to Nikki Bella, and he was back and forth about whether or not he'd ever get married again because he's been married once before. But I just wanted to clarify that because I thought it was just an important update for you regarding John Cena's love life. ScarJo, yummy pop, good form, Bella Thorne.
She's right. It's almost suspect in a way. That, like, he might be engaged to this girl so quickly after literally drawing out his engagement mm-hmm. to Brie Bella so long that it became a plot point together. But that also makes me sus that it's like, was that relationship even real? Like, was that a showman?
Sounds like it wasn't. I mean, that's what this call suggested to me, that was never real. Yeah. Or if it was real for such a short amount of time. Yeah.
And then it got dragged out for the show reasons, and then they ended it.
Yeah, like, what could be better than that? Like, this true wrestling romance. Like, of course.
If it wasn't real, they both did a lot of good work on it because there was so much, like, emotional back and forth that was covered by tabloids about her kind of being like, I'm fed up with this or whatever. Like, they got back together and broke up like a few times. It was like very layered, this performance piece, you know, but that's also interesting. But then the other part of me is like, a lot of people do get married really quick after dragging out, you know, they can switch it around. You know, that's not that surprising. It's just more like funny.
Yeah. You took this off the list, but I'm going to play it anyway.
Hi, Lindsay, Bobby. Long time. I just had to pause the episode because you were talking about going to Dunkin' Donuts, and I actually tried to go through the Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru and get two donuts the other day, and the guy was like, we don't have any donuts, and so I drove away. But anyways, I wanted to say that I've never heard Krella pronounced that way. The favorite donut of grandparents everywhere, the Krella. You say you're from Massachusetts? Get that pronunciation on lock. Crunch, crunch.
I have to say, it's not really a word that I've heard that I've ever really heard said out loud or said out loud before.
I think that that's sort of what's fascinating to me. Like, whenever you were like, I apparently said this word wrong, I said it to myself. I was like, crueler? Cruller? And then I realized I've never said that word in my life. I've never said that word in my life. And I don't think I've ever ordered one.
I mean, I've ordered it from Dunkin'.
But maybe I've just ordered it. And I know I've had about a million of these things, and I was like, have I never, or I don't think I've ever said this to a Dunkin' employee. I think maybe I've been like, give me a dozen, whatever. Because, you know, like, when you order a dozen donuts from Dunkin' and you're like, just give me whatever, like, you pick, dealer's choice.
Uh-huh.
And then it shows up in the box and you're like, oh, I love these ones. And then you have it and you're like, oh, I love these ones. But I don't think I've ever said that word.
But also, you guys, I'm from Boston, but you hear me speak for, what, 1,400 hours a week? I don't have a Boston accent. I literally have no accent. It's not like I'm out here being like, pack the cot. Like, I I'm from there, but I don't have a Boston. You know, I'm not.
Here's this woman. Wait.
Hi, I'm Anya. Welcome to my kitchen. Today, I would like to share with you my favorite recipe for donuts. Those are honey cruller donuts.
This woman says cruller. French cruller. Let's see. Okay, because whenever you search cruller pronunciation, it's just a robot going, cruller. Crueler, and it's like, I don't trust you.
Those are made by robots, though.
Hi, today we're going to make a French crawler.
This woman says crawler.
So I actually do think it is crawler. Crueler sounds weird because they're actually, it's like cruel, crueler doesn't seem correct. Mm-hmm. I just read it like literally like I was thinking of the word in my head and read it like Cruella de Vil almost.
Cruella, crueler.
But it's crawler.
They're beautiful. I want one so badly. Okay.
This is the kind of call that I'm like taking off the list.
No, but it gets us going. That's why I like calls like this, because it's like, okay. It like increases the energy.
And then you can cut it.
No, I'm not cutting that one. Now let's move on to questions. Here we go.
You know, I've tried lots of things to get me to go to sleep in the past, you know, few years. Just a little bit of a push. Got your melatonin, you got your various things. But I've found that of all the things, a little bit of CBD, a little bit of CB distillery, that's getting me.
Goes a long
way.
That's
getting me conked right out and sleeping through the night.
It really is. I love CB distillery. They have Not all their products are for sleep. Some are for relaxation. But, like, I love the sleep ones. They say, shh.
Those gummies they sent us, I was in a chill vibe all day when I took two of those.
They're good-ass gummies. They're good-ass gummies. No, you were. You were like, I took CBD earlier today, and I feel chill.
I'm, like, not operating heavy machinery on those things. You know what I mean? I'm in a good place.
Heavy machinery?
What did I say?
You said heavy machinery, which is good. I like that. I know what you meant. CB Distillery's targeted formulations are made from the highest quality, clean ingredients. They all caps the clean, which means you know it's clean. No fluff, no fillers, just effective CBD solutions designed to help support your health. In two non-clinical surveys, 81% of customers experienced more calm, 80% said CBD helped with pain after physical activity, and an impressive 90% said they slept better with CBD. And I'm among those 90%. So if you struggle with a health concern and haven't found relief, make the change like we did to CB Distillery. And with over 2 million customers and a solid 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery is the source to trust. Hooligans have a 20% discount to get you started. Visit cbdistillery.com and use code WHO, W-H-O, for 20% off. That's cbdistillery.com, code WHO, cbdistillery.com.
Hi, Who Weekly. Long time. I'm just reading the E! News story, how Ashley Olsen is supporting twin sister Mary-Kate through quote-unquote ugly divorce. I may be drunk after two margaritas, but since when are they getting a divorce? And what's an emergency divorce? Like, what constitutes an emergency divorce? I just don't get it. They've been married for 5 years. And I know he's a lot older, but isn't he, like, super rich or something? I don't know. I don't know the team. So I was going to call you guys and see. I love you guys. Good form, Bella Thorne. Carjo, yummy pop.
We tweeted about this right whenever we got the TMZ alert because, oh, my God. And immediately after that, God bless.
Oh, my God.
God bless one of our hooligans, Ravi, started tweeting at us and was like, hi, I'm a divorce lawyer. I can explain what this means. You want me to call? And I said, please, sure, call. So she called, left a really long message, then was like, there's more to say, left another message, and then left a third message that was like, you know what? My first two calls were too long. I'm going to condense this into one call. And I'm like, you. I love you so much. I love you so much.
Yeah.
So let's play the full call. It really helped me figure out what's going on. Okay.
Hi, Who Weekly. This is the New York divorce lawyer calling for a third time because I guess they rambled too long and they got cut off. So let me start over. I don't know if you want to play three calls, but I'll try to be shorter this time. So Mary-Kate's divorce, she is trying to start a new divorce action, but New York courts have been closed because of coronavirus since March 16th. So they're not accepting any new filings because the court system is so outdated that, you know, they can't possibly figure out how to do this stuff remotely. So the only thing they are accepting are new emergency motions, which is asking for emergency relief or either an order of protection or what's called a restraining order in other states, or for support matters. Basically, you're saying that your spouse is not supporting you or your children during this time. So it's unlikely that they would consider what Mary-Kate's lawyers are asking for as an emergency, because what they're saying is that her husband is going to throw out all of her stuff from their apartment if she doesn't remove it by May 18th, and that they need an emergency order to stop him. And so they have to file the divorce in order to institute what's called the automatic orders, which prevent, during a divorce, prevent spouses from transferring property or, you know, getting rid of certain property in order to prevent it from being distributed in a divorce. So it's unlikely, I would think, that they would grant this application for Mary-Kate because this is not damage to somebody physically. It's property damage or possible property damage. So who knows if the court will grant it, but these people have a lot of money and they have very highly paid lawyers. So who knows? They might. So I guess it's something to keep an eye out on. And if you need any more divorce information for about New York divorces, I'm happy to call in. Crunch, crunch. Women don't belong in balloons.
Wow. Keeping this woman's number, like, in my own phone so I can be like, hello, I need a lawyer.
Hi. It's enlightening because there's this Us Weekly article where they talk to a source and it's like, Mary-Kate's investments are protected. Mary-Kate's finances are protected. But it specifically, if I'm understanding this lawyer correctly, it specifically, and this Page Six story, it's the property inside this
New York City apartment. This is the issue because the lease is up.
Yes.
And so Mary Kate is like, my stuff is in there. Like, once the divorce is filed, then they have to split everything equally or some version of that. But until the divorce is filed, he can sort of get rid of that stuff willy-nilly and like do whatever he wants with it.
Very First Wives Club, if you remember that part of the plot line. Yeah, and so selling off his stuff in auction.
Yeah, but then they have to split that evenly. But this is even before they get to that point. So she's like, he's being unreasonable, which is sort of sus and like makes him look like the bad guy, because it's like, come on, you really expect me to go in there and get all of my stuff out of that apartment by May 18th? Like, it's the middle of a pandemic. But this caller is saying that, at least in her experience, like, the courts would not give a shit about that. They'd be like, we have bigger emergencies to deal with. We have bigger fish to fry. This is not imminent harm towards you. Like, this is actually like kind of fascinating, and it looks like maybe, according to the caller, she might not get what she wants here.
Well, the other thing is, this is a person with all of the money in the world, literally. So it's almost like part of me is like, yes, obviously you want to do it safely. Obviously, it makes it harder, but you're in a position to do literally anything right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can get anything done. I mean, there are people flying all over the world in private jets still because they can. And not that I'm saying that's okay. It's not. But it's just interesting to me this is unusual for the Olsen twins to go to do a public emergency ask when behind the scenes, like, they have all the power in the world because they can kind of do whatever they want. And, you know, they have like an ironclad prenup set up. So aside from this furniture, I mean, maybe it has sentimental value to her, but what could be in this apartment that's more valuable than just being like, fuck it, take this furniture, I don't even want to be here anymore, and going to your different apartment?
Because, like, that's how you're interpreting that too. Like, there's something about this apartment, like, what's in there that she doesn't want to lose? And also, in, like you said, in New York of all places, when you're rich of all things, you can get people to do anything for you for the right price. Like, she could be in Fiji and send a fax and get someone to get into her apartment and get what she needs so that Sarkozy doesn't sell it off. Hire someone to do it. I don't know. It's very weird. It's really weird. But I think the term emergency divorce sounds more dramatic than what this actually is sort of what the caller explained. And also, if the pandemic were on, there wouldn't have been a rush to do anything. And we probably wouldn't have heard about this for a while, just like we talked about it a few weeks ago with Kristen Cavallari. Like, celebrities don't like airing their dirty laundry this quickly.
Right. That's what it feels crazy to me. These two are so private. And now all of us, and to come out with this big thing, this makes everything public. Like we were talking about, once you put stuff in the courts, it becomes public. It just feels unnecessary to the point where I wonder what is actually going on, you know, to go public with this. Oh God. Also, did you know that Ashley Benson is dating G-Eazy now after breaking up Cara Delevingne?
That was the call that we got. Remember the one that we couldn't play?
Oh, well, now it's in the past.
Now it's in the tabloids. We got a call that was like, Ashley Benson dumped Cara Delevingne for G-Eazy. You can't play this on the show. And now, weeks later, this is the truth. Isn't that wild?
Out of all people, out of all places, he is. Honestly, that guy is a wizard. I think. Wow. Okay. I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
It's funny when we can like mention a call that someone said you can't talk about this, but like,
well, that was a while ago, right? And now it's like there are pictures. There are pictures of them. There are two pictures of them. Whatever. Anyways, there's evidence. Mm-hmm. There's evidence.
There's evidence.
But also, I kind of am very curious about the timeline of this breakup, because it felt like just a minute ago they were like in quarantine house with like all their friends.
Well, yeah, so time is so difficult and to now measure these days, but when you think about it, like, I don't know the last time that I saw a photo of Ashley Benson with Cara Delevingne, even in those videos of Kaya Gerber and Tommy Dorfman dancing with Cara in the background. Ashley's not in them. So I think we just assumed Ashley was there because of their relationship having been public prior to that.
You think that Cara was just with those people?
I don't know that I think that. I'm just saying, for the time when quarantine was still like, this is only going to be a week, this is funny, we just assumed that Ashley and Cara were in the house together. But looking back,
it's really,
I don't know,
weird
that I saw the footage. Yeah.
Because not to be whatever, but like the whole coronavirus thing really places interesting restrictions so that it makes it harder to figure out who's where, because technically no one's really supposed to be around anywhere. So where has Ashley Benson been this whole, has she been hanging out with G-Eazy this whole time? Yeah. And maybe they broke up before this even went down.
Yeah.
This being the pandemic. Okay.
Next
call. I'm really confused. Next call.
Hi, Bobby Binsey. So Roseburn was maybe misquoted by Variety, maybe cancelled, maybe not. Is Roseburn a who or a them? Also, can you explain the situation? Thanks, Lindsay. Thanks, Bobby. Crunch, crunch. Live in the Vita laptop. Bye.
So there's this show on FX called Mrs. America, which...
Is anyone watching it?
I don't necessarily know why the timing is bad, but it's like a prestige-y show like this. This is not what people really want to watch right now. I think that's sort of ultimately what it is, right? Like... Does that seem wrong?
Well, it's hard to know. First of all, it's hard to know what people want. No one really wants to watch everything, and yet everybody wants to watch everything. You know, it's not, it's unclear. The only thing I know people don't want to watch is Quibi.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Like if you were like, what do people want to watch? It'd be like 100% number one, not Quibi. But otherwise, it is unclear what people want to watch. Mm-hmm. I feel like people just want to watch anything, which which makes sense and is great, you know?
Yeah. It's just sort of like this kind of inspiring show that's like, hell yeah, look at these women who changed the country, who changed the world. That's inspiring. And it's like, I don't know that I necessarily want to be inspired right now, or like, it's just not going to take. Like, I kind of want to brood. You know what I mean? Like,
sure. But it's also kind of just like, it's not just a matter of, unfortunately, no matter what the show is about and how it's written, you're still just looking at actresses doing impressions of real women, mm-hmm. like historical women, and that is kind of a hard thing to not just focus on. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, just impression. It's not an SNL skit. It's two steps up from an SNL skit, yeah. is what we're working with, yeah. here, you know. And that's also kind of like, when a show like this comes out, people tend to focus on the impressions as much
look
as they focus on like
the content. At the wigs.
Yeah, it's like, she looks so much like her, or she, the accent, or, you know, yeah. just that I think is what gets wrapped up, mm-hmm. when. But it's funny to me that it's like Hulu releases Normal People and Miss America, or whatever. What's it called?
Mrs. America. And who would have thought Normal People would have blown that
and
out of the
normal
water?
Normal People, right. And Normal People, which is actually made by the BBC, but then like distributed, yeah. by Hulu or whatever, it like is the thing that everybody's talking about. Mm-hmm. And that's such a small show to me, you yeah. know, based on a popular book, but a smaller show. And Hulu spends however much money to get these women to do these impressions. And no one's really talking about it.
To get these women to do these impressions.
No one's really talking about it. And then when they do talk about it, this is what happens. This misquote. Do you want to...
God. So Variety.
Roseburn is she's a them though.
This call actually, this is why I like this call. We got a couple calls about Roseburn in this show and doing this Variety misquote, but this call I like because it was like, is she who or them? She's a them, right? And I'm pretty sure she's a them, but I think she's sort of on the line. Like Rose Byrne, I don't know that she's ever had her real breakout moment. And she also does so many different types of things.
I mean,
things.
She's good in everything good. She does. We've definitely talked about her. Like, she was even good in the bad play I saw her in with her husband in Brooklyn. Like, she is always very good, and she's good at comedy, she's good at drama, she's like all around good. But maybe, do you think that, like, do people know that isn't she Australian?
She's Australian.
Is she Australian?
Yes.
Do people know that? I'm not quite sure. I paused.
She does American accents so often.
But it's also weird because you would think she's in like a power couple with another very pretty famous, very famous actor, Bobby Cannavale. So you would think like
Bobby Cannavale, but even he is like sort of they're character actors, I guess. And
they
that's
are.
Tough.
They, well, he is. He's become one.
And they're both so theatrical too. And I think the theatrical thing, the fact that they prefer the theater sort of like downgrades them a little bit. No offense, but I think it does.
No offense. I love when you say no offense. Yeah, no offense. To the theater.
It does. I think that they're both thems, but I could easily be convinced otherwise. I'm willing to call them thems, but I could be convinced otherwise.
You're right. Like, it's tough because I'm like, she's incredible, but you're like, okay, so name some stuff. And I'm like, the roles that I would name are kind of like smaller roles or not like.
Spy. She's hilarious in Spy, but that's a Melissa McCarthy movie, you know?
She's a lead. But she's also a lead.
Yeah, but she also has this like wig in it. And it's
I
like,
would say Neighbors.
Neighbors.
And Bridesmaids.
And also, remember Planes? Back when Planes were a thing, anytime I was on a plane for the past 6 years.
Did you say Remember Planes?
Yeah, remember Airplanes?
Like,
back
not
when
the
I was
movie,
on planes,
just Airplanes.
Yeah. Back when I was on a plane, like you'd over always... the past like 9 months, every single person on a plane watched Instant Family. Couldn't tell you what Instant Family
so maybe
is about.
She is
Rose Byrne
okay,
is the
so
star
maybe,
of Instant Family.
Maybe we're overthinking it. I think we might be overthinking it. Yeah, I think she's just a them. Like, you're right. She's in these like big budget movies, and she's playing like pretty much lead roles. Yes, Spy was a Melissa McCarthy movie, but she played, god, you know, she's Spy number is the two
funniest fucking movie of all time. Oh my god.
Okay, so
she was talking to Variety about this role where she, you know, the impression she was doing for FX. I'm gonna die thinking about that every time. So she was doing
the impression she was doing. The impression she was doing.
She was doing it, and they were like, "Tell me about the impression you're doing." And they were talking about this woman, Phyllis Schlafly.
Schlafly. No, it's no. We're both doing it wrong.
She was talking about Phyllis Schlafly. Let's ask: is it crooner, croner, Schlafly? And they said Phyllis has passed, but if you could sit down with her, what would you ask her? And Rose says, I feel like you wouldn't have to ask her much, and she would just take the reins and start to talk and talk and talk and talk. She had some uncanny ability to talk and not draw breath. 6 kids, a law degree, a marriage, an activist to the anti-fems. She was a first-rate feminist, absolutely. Hot laughs. Talk about an independent woman. So she's shading
and
this woman.
Clearly she's saying, talk about an independent woman. Like, she's... come. She's clearly being sarcastic. This is a problem. This is a problem. You have to be really careful with this. So she's clearly being sarcastic. And the person who wrote this clearly wanted you to know that.
Puts the laughs in, like goes out of their way to put the laughs in. So Variety's,
because sometimes you're like,
this,
oh, do I have to put in the laughs? But sometimes when
you're like,
the person is like being sarcastic, you have to put the laughs in.
Put the laughs in. And sometimes you're like, oh, do I put in the do I put in the stammering? Because it makes it cleaner without that. But sometimes you need the stammering because it shows that they're like trying to figure out how to say something.
The only time you're really should not be putting laughs in is if you make a joke and they laugh at it. You cannot. You cannot put the laugh
it's like,
in.
You can't. You're just showing off.
To do that, and somebody was like, you can't do that, and I was like, you're right, I can't.
Lindsay, like, brackets, does a bit.
And then it would be like, laughs.
Okay, Variety tweeted, Rose Byrne, like, come on, it's still shocking every time I look at it. Rose Byrne says conservative activist Phyllis Schlafly was a feminist. Quote, 6 kids, a law degree, a marriage, an activist to the anti-fems. She was a first-rate feminist. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Talk about an independent woman. Hashtag Mrs. America. Also, as if anyone knows what that hashtag is.
I can't.
Everyone is like, Rose Byrne called this conservative nightmare like a feminist. Like, how dare she? Then you click the link and you realize she's joking. She's very clearly joking. So Variety deletes the tweet and they say, for transparency.
Okay, also, Rose Byrne is literally out here playing Gloria Steinem. Like, it's not, like, Rose Byrne is not, her perspective would not be that.
Whatever. Yeah. Variety then follows up with this tweet. For transparency, we deleted a tweet about this Rose Byrne podcast as the text and copy didn't accurately convey her tone in the conversation. Apologies and thank you for the understanding. Okay, so like the damage is done, I guess I believe in is what this tweet is.
Wait, the other funny thing is I didn't know it was a podcast. I thought it was just an interview. So literally they were
excerpting from,
you can hear the audio. Like, it's out there for the public to hear.
Yeah, I mean, apparently. I mean, I didn't listen.
No, I know, but that's just so funny to me that it's like, it's not like the evidence has been on some recorder that the reporter had that they, like, transcribed.
Yeah, the
it's
evidence
like,
is
there
out
is
here.
A podcast.
The evidence is out here, in here.
Yeah.
So in then, then, like, literally, like, 10 minutes later, not literally, but, you know, Variety tweeted this, talking about another role where she's doing an impression. And it says, Rose Byrne plays a Kellyanne Conway-esque character in Jon Stewart's upcoming political satire. Quote, she's truly incredible. You do have to take your hat off to how she can answer any question without not answering anything at all. It's quite extraordinary. Which makes it seem like she loves Kellyanne Conway. Then you dig into the actual quote, and it's, I'm watching endless videos of Kellyanne Conway. Laughs, trying to capture that sort of alternative fact spirit she has. Laughs, she's truly incredible. You have to take your hat off to how she can answer any question without not answering anything at all. It's quite extraordinary. So we try to capture that spirit a little bit. Laughs.
Laughs. Right, because she's clearly being sarcastic, like you would say, like, wow, what an icon, of being evil.
Laughs.
What an evil icon.
Here's me to Variety.
Hey, Queen. Girl, you have done it again.
Hey, Queen. I love Variety, but it's just so funny that they did this exact same thing twice to the same woman.
Same
not even
woman.
Like
in
to
like
a
the
separate
same week.
Woman to the same woman. Right, and it's and honestly, like you'd think that, right? Just like 2 days later, like to the same woman.
Hi, Who Weekly, long-time listener, first-time caller. I need you guys to talk about this deranged GQ interview that Robert Pattinson did, where he tries to cook this like weird pasta dish, and everything goes wrong, and it's so disgusting. Like he's microwaving the pasta. He he's talking about congealing sugar and cheese, and I just, is this a troll? Like, is he trolling, or was this, was he, does he think this is how you cook? I need you guys to talk about this.
Robert Pattinson is a them, but this pasta's...
But the reason why I want to talk about this mm-hmm. is because the more that I think about it, and the more that I think about Robert Pattinson, mm-hmm. the more that I think this is just his latest troll. Because yeah. I think what Robert Pattinson does is he creates fake stories and jokes and little pranks to have the media cover something other than actually what he's saying mm-hmm. or not saying.
Yeah.
So I think that every time he puts himself out there in some sort of interview or publication or whatever, because that's like his job to do that, you know, he has to do it. Mm-hmm. He puts something in there that is so absurd that they end up covering that thing and not him.
Which
and
is
he's
brilliant
done it
of him.
Now. Quite a few times. Yeah, it's
a good strategy.
Brilliant.
It's the right strategy because it's like I don't want to talk about strategy. I don't want to talk about myself, so I'm going to make you talk about literally anything but me. I'm going to make you talk about yes. my crazy pasta.
Yes, which makes no sense and is like basically unfact-checkable in a weird way. Although he did remember when he said that like he was like a clown died at his like birthday party or something. Like he has said things in the past that are fact-checkable.
Yes.
He's and then he'll be like, I don't know why I lied.
This is what he does.
I get why you would lie in that situation because they're like, make up a funny story to tell on a late night show. And you're like, and you just, it doesn't matter. Mm-mm, right. So mm-hmm. you just make something up. I think he learned that the more that he gives these like funny tidbit, he's obviously a very dry person. If he can give these stories, people will not focus and not excerpt the like actual personal information yeah. that he is also sharing.
I think that's exactly but what it is too. It's like it's self-preservation.
It's also unclear whether any of that information is even true anyways.
So the whole thing, it's like I'm in quarantine, I don't know how to cook for myself, I'm supposed to be in Batman but I'm not, but Batman's paying for everything, so they're delivering these meals, but sometimes I gotta eat, I eat tuna out of the can, which is also like big whoop, like you want a medal for eating tuna out of a can, like join the club, tuna out of the
can.
Well, it's
also funny because he's like, this whole thing is like Robert Pattinson in isolation. He's like, my girlfriend who's like
Sookie Waterhouse
staying with me. It's like, you mean Sookie Waterhouse, the actress who literally lives with you? Like, it's not quite isolation that you're trying to make it out to be, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Exactly.
Like, he's not by himself, like, staring at pasta.
This isn't like Howard Hughes, like, surrounded by jars yeah. of pee. Like, he's, like, with Sookie Waterhouse in a beautiful flat in London. This profile is very, like, quirky and fun and honestly, like, good. Like, I was rolling my eyes until I read it. And I was like, I enjoyed reading this. This is a great quarantine profile. Then it sort of culminates in this moment where the writer, Zach Baron, is watching as Robert Pattinson is making this pasta invention that he said he like wanted to start it as a business and wanted to sell it to this company and like make this at-home thing where you can make this pillow pasta. What did he call it? The actual
piccolini cuscino.
Which apparently means little pillow. Okay.
Apparently.
And it involves microwaving penne, crumbling up cornflakes, which really should be breadcrumbs, and then like melting tomato sauce with sugar and American cheese or cheddar cheese, and then you put it all together and then put a bun on top of it and then like blowtorch the bun.
It's insane.
Hard to explain, that's okay. That's the whole point, because like Lindsay said, this is the biggest takeaway from the story, right? And every website on the internet tried to recreate this dish.
Oh my God, every website. The Guardian, Glamour, Daily Beast, Man Repeller, The Takeout. I mean, it was literally like every single person was like, I'm going to try making this, and like wrote about it. And then the other people who didn't make it, they excerpted it. So it was just like, he really did an incredible job making sure that this was the story.
It's like a diversion.
Right. Ugh. And not anything else in that piece. Meanwhile, in the piece, the writer, Zach Baron, talks to people who've worked with him, and they're all like, he's literally the most vague person I've ever met. I mean, the guy is unreadable on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, like, truly. And even, what's his face? Who's the director
that
he just did Tenet with?
He's fucking with you. He's fucking with you.
I mean, yeah. I don't know what to tell you. He's probably fucking with you.
Yeah. And Claire Denis is like, oh, I like, he's so interesting. He's so fascinating. I love him. He's so tender. And like Juliette Binoche is like, I'm obsessed with him. And then Christopher Nolan is just straight up like, don't believe what he says, but also he rules, but also like, you can't really trust this guy. Like it's,
yes,
this is what he's doing. This is what he does. And he does it well. I don't know.
Yeah,
he does it well.
And I'm more, even though he's a them, I'm fascinated with this media technique that he has clearly
perfected.
Aced. Yeah, he's perfected this way of doing these interviews across the board on TV, in print, whatever, that make it so that nobody leaves with any kind of information about him that's useful. And no one's asking for any more information that's useful. But they're just like, they're happy with what he gave them.
He figured out how to stonewall people, interestingly. He's like, I don't want to talk about me. But if an asshole celebrity was like, I don't want to talk about me to a profile writer, it'd be like, well, then why the fuck did you agree to the profile, you dumbass? Like, fuck you then. This is the whole point of the thing. But meanwhile, he's still not giving them much about himself, but he's doing it in an interesting way.
Right.
I hate how much I fall for his shit. Piccolini Cuscino, who? You'll never catch me making this thing. No. Next call.
No, never. Are you getting less disgusting?
Next call. I love to do an ad for a podcast hosted by a who we have literally talked about on the show.
Love that. I love that. I absolutely love that. Welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family. We're going to talk about a new podcast called Jocular, hosted by none other than ER Fightmaster, Tien Tran, and Katie Kershaw. They're comedians, they're writers, they're best friends, and they're obsessed with women's sports. Like a lot of you, I'm sure. They're exploring all things queer, trans, and women forward in the world of sports. And in every episode, they're going to cover the latest games, they're going to debate pressing issues, and they're going to review how they're really horny for basically everyone in the game. You know, you love to see it. Just be honest about it.
You literally love to see it. Friends and experts will join to share their takes on sports ranging from women's basketball to soccer to power slapping.
So tune in every Friday for new episodes of Jocular on Apple, Amazon, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts right now.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. First time, medium time. I'm shaking. I just spent the last hour and a half listening or reading about the Allison Roman drama that came from the New Consumer article. So I would love to hear you guys talk about it. I started cooking as a 25-year-old because I was inspired by Allison's post, but she has been acting a damn mess in her comments on Twitter and on Instagram. I cannot believe it. I am not on Allison's side, but I'm really shaking. Also, you should know I called 1-800-WHO-THEM on accident, and it was a sex line. Okay, goodbye.
How did I not know that 1-800-WHO-THEM is a sex line?
Because, no, you did, because people have called it before.
Whoops.
Also, to think that we'd have an 800 number, like, come on, guys. We're not.
Please, no.
We're not there.
We're not there yet.
We'll never be there.
So, Chrissy Teigen, them, Allison Roman, who, the new consumer, who? Like, what is the new consumer? This is more about the new consumer than it is about Allison Roman and Chrissy Teigen.
I know. I don't even understand how the new consumer became the place where this... Yeah. I mean, it's a popular newsletter, but like, wow, the new consumer.
How do we even get into this? Allison Roman is a hooligan. So that sort of makes things interesting, because I don't know that we've ever actually done a segment on a confirmed hooligan who... Someone who is out and proud a listener of this show, which sort of makes it awkward, but it's sort of like, oh, whatever. It doesn't actually make it awkward.
Well, I'm just happy. I just want to say that I'm happy that we didn't dig into this, like, well, we purposely didn't into this on Monday, because I was like, I feel like this hasn't really resolved itself, and it will resolve itself quickly in terms of, you know, Allison, she apologized and it wasn't quite accepted. Mm-hmm. And then she apologized again. And then Chrissy was like, accepted it. And I have to say, like, the thing about this, and maybe I am, you know, a little biased. I know Allison, like, but it got me thinking. And, you know, Bobby and I never tend to side with the celebrity, because it almost feels like, again, Allison, maybe she was punching up, but she wasn't punching as far up as she thought she was punching. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's the thing that we always think about with this podcast, where it's like, if you are we talk about celebrities, we're always making sure that we're punching really far up. We never want to go after someone who is in our realm. It almost doesn't feel fair.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If we're going after them, which we're often not. But
But I think ultimately, that totally makes sense.
I think that Allison didn't realize how famous she is.
Mm-hmm.
You're calling her a who, and I think she would agree. Mm-hmm. But the funny thing about this is that she's successful. She, you know, people love her recipes, especially right now. And when she went after Chrissy, maybe she thought, you know, I'm criticizing someone who's doing something I don't agree with, but because they're so much more famous than me, like, I'm allowed to criticize. Mm-hmm. That, like, that's not something that. And then Chrissy was like, because the funny thing is that going after somebody who is so out there and actively reading and having people tweet at them and reading those tweets, and mm-hmm. that's a thing, that's a problem with itself.
Yeah.
She didn't maybe realize that Chrissy would just be like right back at her, like, I know who you are. Mm-hmm. I like your recipes. I engage with your work, you know?
I just signed on to be the EP of your show. So we haven't even said what happened yet.
Okay, go ahead.
And not everyone is as insane as we are in following this, you know, every minute of the day. Alison Roman, cookbook author, New York Times video queen, former Bon Appetit former staff Bon member. Appetit. Yeah. She is famous now because she's had two best-selling cookbooks with good recipes that are not only kind of easy to make, but they go viral. That's why you've heard of her, because she made a stew that was easy to make that went viral. The stew. She made cookies that went viral. The cookies. She made the shallot pasta that, like, everyone started making a couple months ago, including myself.
It's good.
Chrissy Teigen, we know who that is. Alison Roman, because she's sort of on the come up now. She's been doing a lot of interviews, a lot of everything. And it's pandemic, so it's easy to say yes to everything these days. She's been doing like group Zoom. She's been doing interviews with the new consumer. God knows what the new consumer even is. In this article, one of the things about Alison that people both like and dislike is that she's like a talker, right? She's like, she's very opinionated. She goes off on her Instagrams like, don't make adjustments to my recipes. That's why I'm a cook. I put the testing in, so you don't have to. Like, how dare you question me, right?
Right. And but to be fair, if you look at the New York Times comments on recipes, it's kind of a meme already that people are like, hey, I want to make this steak. Can I replace it with
chicken.
Broccoli?
Yeah. Yeah, right,
and
exactly.
Everyone's like, no, then you're not making steak anymore. You're making broccoli. So it's like, that is already kind of a thing. And I think Alison was kind of like, saw that and was like, okay, well, you don't have to make my recipe.
Exactly.
Please stop asking me to substitute broccoli for steak. Mm-hmm. It's a steak recipe or what, you know, whatever that is. Like, that to me is something that has come up a lot, you know, and she was the first to kind of be like, all right, I'm not really going to reply to every one of these questions.
Mm-hmm. So there's really nothing to this interview. There's no peg to it. It's just like, so like, tell me about your life. And then she kind of goes in, because she's a talker, on people who were sort of in her category that she doesn't really want to emulate. And those people happen to be non-white women, which is the problem. And she talks about Chrissy Teigen by saying, what Chrissy Teigen has done is crazy to me. She had a successful cookbook, and then it was like, boom, line at Target. Boom, now she has an Instagram page that has over 1 million followers, where it's just like people running a content farm for her. That horrifies me. It's not something I ever want to do. I don't aspire to that. But like, who's laughing now? Because she's making a ton of fucking money. My generous read of this is that she's not really being mean to Chrissy. She's just saying like, I don't want this level of famous. I don't want this for me. But the wording, content farm, the wording is sort of needlessly aggressive, and Chrissy saw this.
Right. There's an accusation that it's not authentic, yes. Which I think is what she's speaking to, is like the authenticity of somebody in a kitchen making a stew, someone in the kitchen making a casserole or whatever that is. And she's saying that Chrissy Teigen does not have the authenticity that she values for her
that
own
she
career.
Values.
What's interesting to me about this, and this is something that's just like, you know, media training 101, which I don't even really have specific media training, but just something that I think about reading the media, is that she could have said literally this exact thing without naming her. Okay. She could have said, you know, people who are out here XYZ. I would have said, oh, maybe she's talking about Chrissy Teigen.
Oh, maybe she's talking about Gwyneth Paltrow.
Maybe she's talking about the fucking Pioneer woman who has a Barbie doll.
Exactly.
Maybe she's talking about Martha Stewart who has sheets. Like, we are,
yes.
There are so many people who are doing what she's saying that she doesn't want to do, which is one thing. If she doesn't want to do that, that's totally fine. But like, to name someone is when you kind of get. That's when you get in trouble. There are so many ways to be opinionated, to speak your mind. But calling people out, that's when you get into like the big B word, the bullying word, which I don't think this is. But that's when people say you're a bully because you're calling someone out.
And the two people she calls out in this section are Chrissy Teigen and Marie Kondo, two Asian women. That also was part of the thing. It's like you could have, number one, like you said no one, not named anyone. You could have called out literally Gwyneth Paltrow, Martha Stewart, Pioneer woman, anyone else, or a man, to be honest. There are racial elements to this that I think exacerbated the main issue here. And that's, I think, what took this over the edge and made it a thing. So when Chrissy Teigen saw this, she tweeted it out. And Alison Roman was not like hiding this interview. She tweeted it. She put it on her Instagram. She was like, I'm saying something spicy again. Uh-oh, here's my brand, whatever. Chrissy Teigen saw it and was like, I'm so disappointed. I love your recipes. I loved your cookbook, and I just signed on to produce your show. I'm basically rescinding it. This sucks. Okay. And then she went on a long thread like, I'm not a farm. I'm just two people, which, let's be honest, Chrissy Teigen's thread was a little dramatic. And I don't really, you know, like,
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, part of me is kind of like, this is not just the case of like, right and wrong. There's like a, there's nuance here, because as much of a fan of Chrissy Teigen as you can be, you have to acknowledge she has a full website that is really well made and well run, and it's not run by her. She has two kids. She like does so many different things. She hosts a Quibi show. She hosts this show. There is no way that this woman has time to do all this stuff herself. And not, and I'm not saying that she doesn't like make her own recipes or do this stuff, but she certainly has help. She didn't come from a cooking background. She had help. Her cookbook editor is a very famous cookbook editor who helped her make her first fucking cookbook. So like to say like, I'm so hurt by the accusation that I'm a factory farm, like maybe that the wording is a little bit cruel.
Yeah.
But Chrissy Teigen has certainly, because she made such an impressive pivot from being literally a model to like Martha Stewart, she had to have had help there, and she did have help, good advice and good people helping her. So it's like part of me is kind of like, there is definitely truth to what Allison was saying. She just said it wrong, and she again didn't punch far enough up.
she didn't punch far enough up. Right. That's it. And also, like, it makes sense that Chrissy Teigen, everyone else we named was a white woman, and of course Chrissy Teigen, who is not a white woman, might feel a little defensive whenever you come for her, when she's like, it was tougher for me than it may have been for other people, which is totally true.
Yeah.
And so like there are these nuances to both sides of the story. Ultimately, I think that like Allison absolutely fucked up, but the problem that happened after all this occurred is that Chrissy Teigen was the winner here, right? Chrissy Teigen was framed as the victim very early on. This is what happens whenever you spend 10 years of your life on Twitter 24 hours a day. People started digging up the tweets that bubble up to the surface maybe every 6 months, where it's like, Chrissy Teigen bullied people for a long time. Chrissy Teigen really tweeted some fucked up stuff in the past. Chrissy Teigen has messed up herself, said some transphobic stuff, wanting people to commit suicide. Like, Chrissy Teigen has said some fucked up stuff. All of this bubbles to the surface. She immediately makes her account private, sort of apologizes for it, sort of doesn't, deletes like over 300 tweets that were offensive.
People all assume that it has to do with this story, but it actually just has to do with the fact that in no matter what would happen to you, if your name gets brought up like in the press in a big way, people think, oh, Chrissy Teigen, she exists, remember her, I don't like her, and then they tweet mean things.
Yes. So this happens over the weekend, and we're like, we shouldn't talk about it on Tuesday because this is going to keep going. I still think that they're going to make up and literally have an Instagram live together. And
that's, Bobby said that literally the minute this happened, by the way.
From day one, I think they're going to make up. I don't think that the show is dead in the water. I think that both parties are going to come out stronger because of this, to be honest. Anyway, so Allison does her apology. She doesn't do it on Notes app. But she points out, she's like, I called out two Asian women. I fucked up. The apology is actually, in the grand scheme of things, pretty good. Like, okay, cool.
I think it did a good job. I think it did what it had to do. And clearly it did what it had to do, because Chrissy couldn't say, I'm not accepting your apology after that apology.
Yes, you know what I mean? Chrissy Teigen did accept the apology. Let me get this exactly.
Her statement back is like truly just one for the books.
So Allison Roman said she sent an email when first she apologized right after it happened. People were like, you suck. Like, your apology sucks. Then she released a longer apology a few days later. Then Chrissy Teigen said, thank you for this, at Allison Roman. To be clear, it never once crossed my mind for you to apologize for what you genuinely thought. The comments stung, but they more so stung because they came from you. It wasn't my usual news break of some random person hating everything about me. And honestly, for the past few days, every time I saw a shallot, I wanted to cry. But I do appreciate this, and hopefully we can all be better and learn from the dumb shit we have all said and done. That end part is her acknowledging, like, uh-oh, people are coming for me as well.
Well, it's just so funny that she acknowledged the Venn diagram of these two women's kind of careers in a way, because the funny thing is when she says, like, I actually think we would be friends and get along, I think that too.
I agree.
So I think, you know, they both definitely have the similar sense of humor. And so
they both put their foot in their mouth a lot. But
coming for Allison, in a way, Chrissy had to deal. And this is so interesting. Now I'm just like saying it, but it's so interesting. In coming for Allison, or in coming back, clapping back to Allison, Chrissy then had to contend with her own kind of like behaviors that mirrored what Allison had kind of done. Because as soon as you cry bullying, people come out of the woodwork to say, but you're a bully. You've done it too.
For the past month, Courtney Stodden has gone off on some vendetta against Chrissy Teigen that got no attention. And Courtney Stodden has been like, hey, remember whenever I was like a 17-year-old girl and Chrissy Teigen for some reason decided I was someone that she needed to bully and she would put all these public tweets being like, you're ugly, I hate you, what's your problem, when I was a child? Courtney Stodden has been out here saying this before Alison Roman said all that newconsumer.com. You know, like, both of these people fucked up. And yes, I think in this particular instance, Alison Roman fucked up a whole lot more. But you're right. It's funny to watch Chrissy realize that she also has to deal, like, reckon with her past at the same time. And that is a narrative that, like, the tabloids are incapable of addressing with any nuance and like, care, right? Like, it's just like, Chrissy wins, then Alison wins, then Chrissy wins, but Chrissy wins mostly because we think her daughter's cute and she's more famous. Yes. Like, there's no way of approaching this with any nuance when you look at the tabloids.
There's no nuance. There's no nuance. And the fact that this got covered by so many tabloids, like, it was in us. I was just like, every time there was a new one, I was like, are you kidding me? Again, we're desperate times call for desperate measures. Like, just as the quarantine made kind of Alison Roman's star rise and that people were cooking her recipes and loving them, the quarantine is also going to punish her because this is all people care about. There's no drama in people's lives, so they're just looking for something to put on the website. So it's just, it's kind of this like double-edged sword in a way.
Mm-hmm. We could talk about this for hours just because it's two people who are extremely online, you know, who, for whom there are so many receipts, for whom there's like so much talking. These are two people who just love to talk and love to hear themselves talk. So it's like, of course a feud between these two people would be huge.
And that's coming from two people who also love to hear themselves talk.
But I think what you said earlier is kind of the biggest takeaway from this. Chrissy Teigen and Alison Roman have so much more in common than I think they want to recognize.
Right, which is why I think you made the joke that's too real, that's like, soon they'll be on Instagram Live making mac and cheese together, because I'm telling, like, that if that was your first thought, knowing all of this and knowing Alison and knowing about Chrissy from years of tabloids and all of her shit on Twitter, it's like, these women have a lot in common. They both know that they have a lot in common. And this is, and sometimes this shit happens when you have a lot in common with someone. It's like you bump heads because you know, you both stand for things, right? And you're not afraid to say it, right?
Do you want to do a quick game of Who Are Them? Just really quick?
No.
Okay, we're done then.
No, I mean, I just think we're done.
Like, yeah, we're fully done. So we're done. Oh my God. There are two Call You're Doing Amazing Sweeties, both name blindness, two that we thought were funny. We'll do Who Were Them for next week. There are some fun ones on this Who Were Them list. Thank you for listening.
Do you want to just do it in case you need to use more of it than you think?
No, okay. We have been recording for so long and I'm going to have to cut so much of this. Thank you for listening. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Support us on patreon.com/whoweekly for 2, maybe 3 bonus episodes a week, but for sure 2. Call us at 619-WHO-THEM if you have any questions, comments, or concerns. And I think that's it. We're done. Bye. Have a great weekend.
Bye.
Hey. 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 I want to be famous.
Name blindness. California Pizza Kitchen. Red Hot Chili Peppers. Crunch, crunch.
Hi, Who Weekly. I've called before with my celebrity name blindness about Robert Durst and Fred Durst, but I encountered another one this week, which is Riley Keough and Rilo Kiley, if that's how you pronounce it. I think they're like music adjacent. I don't know exactly who they are or what they do, but these are the pairs of names that I like can't get out of my head, even after googling the difference between Robert Durst and Fred Durst. This is probably not going to make it on the show. Okay, thanks for listening, Leanne Cuisine.